joining me now from the Toronto Star. We'll talk Kadri. We'll talk a little bit of Leafs. But I got to ask Kevin McGran. Kevin, do I parlay that 38 cents and bet Canada at -550 to beat Czechia in regulation?
Czechia, who are they? Are they the Czech Republic?
Help me on this. No, because I heard that they've changed their name, and I think I heard Gord Miller talking about it. Is it Czech Republic? Listen, my job, I usually screw up a name. I try not to screw up an entire nation.
Well, behind the scenes, those of us that work in newspapers and we have style guides and certain things that we have to phrase certain ways.
Yeah.
This whole Czechia, Czech Republic thing has thrown us for a loop. because they want to be called Czechia, but their jersey says Czech Republic.
Oh.
And everybody's saying Czechia, but they're saying Czechia except for what they're showing the English world. So they're showing Czech Republic. So I like Czechia, but we'll see. They are the Czechs. They are always tough. Once a decade, they like to win a medal. So I don't know if I'd parlay that 38 cents. You could spend that 38 cents elsewhere. Yeah. Or could you?
It's hard. I think there's minimum bets as well on FanDuel. Well, let's go back and look at the game yesterday because it was, what would be the best way to describe Switzerland? Plucky, sneaky, it felt like the Swiss were hanging around. I mean, it was 1-1 with under 8 minutes left in the first. They scored late in the first to make it 4-2. The game felt like it was 5-3 for the majority until an empty net goal. What did you see yesterday from Canada?
Well, the way I described it, I just called the Canadians choppy, right? They're just not quite, they're certainly not mid-season form. No team is. It's the middle of summer. And so you have these moments where they fan on pucks or the passes don't quite work or the power play is just not quite clicking. So you have those moments. And I think ultimately defense beats, bad offense or at least stays equal. And the Swiss are sort of historically a plucky team, as you described them. They protect their goalie rather well. And there are five men around it, so it's hard to get shot through. So one surprise to me that the Swiss kept things close. But I think the right team won. It's just that Canada's not really on in their full gear right now.
Yeah, and it certainly showed yesterday. Joined by Kevin McGran from the Toronto Star, Canada 5-0-0-0. I got an extra O, and all their wins have been by multi goals. And now they will take on Czechia tomorrow, right here on TSN 1050. That match will start at 4:00. I don't know how you feel about it. To me, the biggest disappointment was that the United States lost. My favorite rivalry in all of hockey. Number two, the Leafs versus the salary cap. Number one, Canada versus America. And now that we will not get to see that.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise that they fell to the Czechs. Again, the Czechs, they are capable of games like that. But the Americans, boy, like that's got to be a huge disappointment for that program. They were my favorite to win the gold medal. I think they... lots of teams lost players that didn't come back for the summer because of various reasons. The Americans actually kind of gained a couple of players because they had a bunch of guys that couldn't play because of COVID, and they were able to play this time. So I really thought the Americans had just a little bit of everything, including goaltending, and just to see them go out as early as they did, I think it's a huge disappointment for this tournament, but a bigger disappointment for them themselves.
How do you think this will have any impact in terms of just atmosphere or the crowds? And again, this is not taking away anything from Czechia. And we know Finland and Sweden, these are teams that have won lots and lots of medals over the years. But I wonder if that'll have any impact on just what it'll look like and feel like in the stands.
Well, I mean, it hasn't looked like or felt like anything really particularly great. I mean, Canada is averaging fewer than 5,000 fans a game here. They've draped off the upper bowl. I don't think the absence of the Americans is going to change anything. It certainly won't make it better. I do hope that the medal games are well attended. The fans that are here are having a good time, but, this being a summer tournament, all the backlash against Hockey Canada, the price of these tickets is kind of ridiculous. It's really created just sort of a, like, the city of Edmonton's not even promoting this tournament because of the backlash against Hockey Canada. So it's really kind of created a tournament that's for the players and really not for anybody else.
Who stood out for you the most among Team Canada?
Well, I really like Logan Stankoven. I mean, Connor Bedard and Mason McTavish are... McTavish is the best player in this tournament, and Connor Bedard has done everything I expected of Connor Bedard. I think he's truly going to be the number one overall next year. But if you just go down to guys I didn't really know a great deal about, Logan Stankoven has stood out. Sobrano stood out. I love Dylan Garand in net. So those guys, I think Canada's got a really, really nice balance of power up front on defense and in net. So, yeah, Logan Stankoven, he's a small guy. He's 5'8", maybe 5'9", but he can really skate and score. So I really like watching him.
Moving over from the World Juniors to the NHL, a news just came down a little while ago that Nazem Kadri signing with the Calgary Flames, believed to be a 7-year deal for around $7 million. Also on top of that, Sean Monahan is going to be dealt. This is coming from Chris Johnston to Montreal to open up, to clear some cap space for Kadri to sign in Calgary. Kevin, just curious your thoughts of, we've been waiting for it, but where Kadri was going to land, and he lands with the Flames.
I find it ironic that he lands with the Flames. I mean, I think we are all sort of looking at Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders and thinking he was going to go there, largely only because Kadri had rejected a trade to the Flames a couple of years ago when the Leafs tried to trade him for TJ Brody. Right? So he'd rejected Calgary as a landing spot. But boy, I think, you know, Calgary has really done a terrific job of putting themselves back together now and to keep pace with the Oilers. Tkachuk is a great player. He brings a unique skill set. Kadri brings some of that, and they lost Gaudreau, but they bring in Huberdeau, and they, out of it all, they get a better defenseman than Mackenzie Weegar. So I really do like what Calgary has done to sort of keep pace in that division, because I really thought when they lost Gaudreau and the Huberdeau Tkachuk trade, I really thought they might be able to keep it together for a year and then start a rebuild, but obviously that's not going to happen. They think they're good for the long haul here. I really do like how the Flames are keeping pace with the Oilers.
It's wild. It's absolutely a wild summer where it looked like, pain and rebuild time for the Flames. Why is Sutter still going to be there? And now just everything has turned around with now the signing of Kadri. My only red flag here, and I'm curious your thoughts, is that he's 31. 7-year deal, that's a lot for a 31-year-old. But that he had a career high in points with 87. That's 26 more than any other year he's had. And it feels like, and listen, I understand someone texted in going, hey, Huberdeau is just the same as being on a line with Mikko Rantanen. But I wonder how much of Kadri's success offensively can be replicated a year older and no longer within the Colorado scheme.
Well, yeah, he goes from being a number two center, so maybe some protected minutes and some bonus power play time, to the number one center, which is going to be a lot harder for him. And I'm like a lot of people, when I see a guy having a career year just as he's coming up to UFA status, you kind of like, you look around a little bit and go, okay, right, buyer beware here. You have to understand that you have to give the term, that's just part of the price to do in business. And general managers often don't really care about the fourth, fifth, and sixth, or the fifth, sixth, and seventh years of a deal, because they're probably not going to be the general manager then. That's not going to be their problem.
That's true.
Bradshaw Living wants to win now, and term is just part of the price to get a player that he really likes and can help him win now.
I also noticed, Kevin, you pinned this from a little while ago. But I'm just curious, and we'll end this. We're joined by Kevin McGrann from the Toronto Star. I appreciate you joining the show live from Edmonton. You wrote about John Tavares and that a need for speed drives the Leafs captain. How different do you think Tavares will be, because we can't make those predictions, but how different do you think he can be next year in terms of production? And I say that knowing that he actually put up a pretty good year. If you just looked at the numbers, it just felt like Tavares felt a little bit more irrelevant for a guy who still got 76 points in 79 games.
I think Tavares takes a lot of heat in Toronto.
True.
You know, he's not the fastest skater, and he is the captain, and they lose in the playoffs. So, you know, he knows it comes with the territory. I think Tavares is going to continue to be a point of game player. I don't think he's going to go much higher than 80 points or much lower than 80 points. But I think you're going to see out of the box, you're going to see a slightly leaner version of him. He wants to just lose a little bit of weight so he can gain a little bit of speed. I mean, he knows what's coming for him as he ages. I think he's going to morph into a more defensive-minded forward as he gets longer into his 30s. But I just see him, you know, put up similar points as last year. I just think you might see a leaner version of him. I mean, his point to me on that story was last year at this time, he was still sort of concussed. He couldn't really put in a great deal of work in the summer. As you know, players do that all the time now. It's not like the old days where they come to training camp 10 pounds overweight, play them way into shape. Everybody's starting at peak physical fitness when the camp begins. So he wasn't quite there. He got there. So I think the beginning of the season, we'll see if the work that he was able to put in this summer pays off with a version of John Tavares that can keep a little better pace with everybody else.
You mentioning guys coming into camp in shape would be a easy segue to when will Phil Kessel get a deal, but I'm not here. I'm not here for that low-hanging fruit comedy, so I'm going to end it right there. Read his work in the Toronto Star. Go buy the paper, especially on the weekend. Nothing better. Kevin, always appreciate. Enjoy the tournament, and I'm still debating if I'm going to put down a dangerous bet on Canada to beat Czechia.
Well, I would take the goals and take Czechia. I think it's going to be a close one.
All right. I'm looking at it right now on FanDuel. Thanks so much. Take care. All the best.
All right. Cheers.
That is Kevin McGran from the Toronto Star.